back together again, you and I, midweek Wednesday, December 7th of 2022 on Connecticut Today. I opened the show talking about the GOP's latest U.S. Senate loss in Georgia with Herschel Walker. Wallingford GOP State Rep. Craig Fischbein joined us to talk about a possible delay in the implementation of the state's new Clean Slate law. And business consultant Carl Gould joined us again to talk about the current nationwide increase in retail theft. So as you heard there at the top of the hour from our national news folk, a lot of Republicans now in D.C. suddenly after that Herschel Walker debacle last night and yesterday and last night in Georgia, they're suddenly saying, well, we need a better message, and we have to relate to voters better, and we need a reset. Well, maybe, yeah, but here's what the Republican Party needs. On this, as we look back on this Wednesday, December the 7th, 2022, here on Connecticut Today, I don't know, maybe the Republican Party needs, geez, I don't know, smarter voters? Voters who don't vote for idiots and unelectable candidates? Oh, my God. Again, you talk about some of the Republicans now, you know, not seeing the forest for the trees here. Oh, my God. Oh, we need a reset. Yes, we have to do this. Oh, the message was. No, the message was there. And in a lot of states, the message was a lousy candidate. I'm sorry to say that, but somebody has to. And if you want to call up and yell at me and scream at me, you can. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. So many people I know on social media, and you read some of these conservative columns. Oh, we almost did it. Herschel Walker almost pulled it off. It was only 51-49. Well, you know what that tells me? 51-49 means 51-49 means that if you had just a normal candidate, not anybody who's the next Abraham Lincoln, the next Ronald Reagan, the next David Eisenhower. We're not looking for that now. Those things happen once in a lifetime, as the talking heads taught us years ago. It's just competence. That's all. Look, I don't know Herschel Walker. I never met him. I probably won't. And now there's a story here that comes out today after the election last night where his son Christian, who, you know, was kind of estranged from his father. He still wants to see him do well, but didn't have that much of a relationship. Christian Walker said they hounded, they begged, they being Trump and the Trump team, they hounded and they begged this guy to run. And we, Christian Walker said, I guess the we meaning his family, told him, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, I know it was only 51-49, but I circle back to my original premise. If Herschel Walker, who has zero, had and still has zero experience in government. Yes, he's a famous name around Georgia with the Georgia Bulldogs, and then his relationship with Donald Trump and the USFL and the Jersey Generals, and then for some decent to pretty good years with the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. Okay, we get that. And it's not like athletes don't ever ascend to Congress. It does happen. Steve Largent, great wide receiver with the Seattle Seahawks in their early years, he served in the House for years, went on to be the head of the marketing body, the trade association, in the early days of cell phones. Jim Bunning, Hall of Fame pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, went on to be in Congress. So it can be done. But Herschel Walker was not the guy. And again, with all due respect to Herschel Walker, you know, I had friends of mine who said, how can they vote for this guy? He's unintelligible. He's virtually unintelligible when he speaks. And you don't think he had CTE back in the days? In the 80s? College football and the NFL and the USFL, where they threw guys back in there who had undoubtedly multiple concussions. But again, the fact that he even ran and the fact that 49% of people voted for him just solidifies my theory that you need smarter voters out there. You just do. I'm sorry. And he's not the only one. I'm not here at, 2:13 on a Wednesday in the middle of the week here just getting on Herschel Walker's case. But that was an eminently winnable Senate seat if you're a Republican. And you wanted to win that seat. If you're a Democrat, you're laughing. If you're a Democrat, you are popping the cork today. You are doing the locker room champagne today, going, those idiots nominated Herschel Walker. But he almost won. And this is some of my conservative friends here online today. Yeah, but it was 51-49. To which I say, if I can use one of my favorite football analogies, the great God Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. A loss is a loss is a loss. But you had Herschel Walker, you had Dr. Oz, Leora Levy here in Connecticut. Oh, nothing against Mrs. Levy, but it's a blowout. Don Bolduc, everybody said Maggie Hassan was done in New Hampshire. No, because they had the Republican Party put up another stinker of a candidate in New Hampshire up there. So maybe, are you Trump people done now? And yes, I'll admit I voted for the guy twice before he went off the rails. I mean, my God, now. If you're a Republican coming off last night, you say, well, geez, we still have the House, and we're only one seat away in the Senate, which should show you that if you shy away from the glitz and the glitter and just put good policy out there and frame it well and not do these, dopey kind of celebrity candidates and these people who are on the fringes. And I know that's hard because it's the hard core of the Republican primary voter, and the Democrats do this too. I mean, they blew a couple of races that they should have won too. But my God, enough. Does the Herschel Walker race, if that doesn't tell you enough, because believe me, Raphael Warnock, no offense to Reverend Warnock, but everybody's licking their chops. Well, we're going to get him this time. We missed him last time. No, you're not. 0-2. You missed. We're going to miss. Strike 3. Go sit down for a few innings. Oh, my God. And even Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania. Listen, Oz is not a dummy. Oz wasn't a dummy by any chance. I mean, the guy's a world-renowned heart surgeon. He has privileges at some of the best hospitals in New York City. But again, what was attached to him? Maybe not that he's dumb, but what was attached to him? Carpetbagger. Even though people have carpetbagged on the other side for years, but people don't want to hear that. Just run decent candidates. Oh, my God, I'm awash today. Let's look at the post-election analysis after the Herschel Walker defeat in Georgia to Reverend Raphael Warnock. I got your analysis. He was a lousy candidate. Just because you almost win, that doesn't make you a winner. Well, he only lost 51-49. I don't care. I'd rather lose 55-45. I'd rather lose by 10, not 2. Because the smaller your margin, right, in a loss, it just shows you the bigger liabilities that you have as a candidate. If you have those bigger liabilities, they play more into the equation. Because if you just move a few more votes here or there, you could have had a different outcome here. But, oh, my God, this is sheer unadulterated lunacy. Can we now become, you folks in the Republican Party, and I chat with a lot of you people online, and you disagree with me. I love you, though. I do. But can we please become the adults in the room again? Please? Good Lord. Oh, agita. Where's my Brioski? You might remember the controversy a couple of years back about the Clean Slate Bill, and it's a bill that is going to eliminate criminal records and wipe the slate clean for certain offenders of certain offenses, and it was due to kick in this coming January 1st, but now there's been a slight delay and tensions may be rising a bit about that. So let's go to one of our go-to guys. He was involved in the negotiations over this. Republican State Rep Craig Fischbein, representing primarily Wallingford. He is the ranking Republican on Judiciary in the General Assembly. Craig, it's Paul here. Good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Nice to hear your voice almost in person. I woke up a few weeks ago. I forgot what station I was listening to, and I was like, hey, that's Paul. I miss Paul.
There you go. We'll see, yes. As opposed to other people who say, oh, that nutcase again. Anyway, great to have you on. Now this, and Craig, I had you on a couple of times when this was being jousted about there with you folks up there in the General Assembly. Now, what is the problem here now? Because I see from what I read, and you tell me whether, you know, this is being misrepresented or not, but things are starting to get a little tense about the rolling out of this. What's going on?
Well, yeah, a lot of the things that we had brought up during the debate, you know, were poo-pooed. You know, when you say negotiated in your introductory comments, there wasn't a lot of negotiation here. It was, you know, this is what we're doing. And, you know, a lot of the things that, a lot of concerns that we had raised process-wise have come to fruition recently. On November 28th, a letter was sent by both the judicial branch, essentially, and the executive branch. Interestingly, not to any Republicans, but to Gary Winfield and Steve Stafstrom, who are the chairs of the Judiciary Committee on the Democratic side. I didn't even know about this letter until this morning, quite frankly. But, you know, raising a lot of concerns about, you know, for instance, there are qualifying natures to erasures here, and a lot of these records are not available electronically. So, you know, both branches are coming back to the legislature and saying, well, are you expecting us to go through these documents like page by page? You know, that's one of the things that we had brought up. Another very distressing thing is the conflict that they bring up with regard to a sex offender registry. You know, some people are required based upon their conviction to be automatically put on a sex offender registry or a deadly weapon registry. By virtue of these erasures, they would be falling off of those registries. And, the reason for the registries is to try and protect the public. You know, so once again, they're saying, are you really wanting to do this? You know, those are just a few of the problems that have been brought to the attention of the committee.
Well, with all due respect, Craig, to judicial and the executive branch, the governor's office, where were they when you folks were discussing and debating and wrestling over this? Did they know about this, and were they just keeping quiet about it, or have they now had these sudden eureka moments?
Well, I think we were on the House floor debating it, and they were back in their offices watching Seinfeld reruns or something like that. You know, all too often, those that actually visit the legislature will see that very often there's not many people in the House chamber that are listening or engaging to the debate. Many people are in the caucus rooms or in their offices, you know. And, you know, the bell rings, they come out, they see how their buddies voted, and they vote accordingly. You know, and very along those lines, one of the amendments that we ran during this debate was to take the hate crimes out of this legislation. And, you know, I ran that amendment, and the amendment failed on party lines. And I said to one of my colleagues who happened to be a minority, I said, do you realize that you just voted against taking hate crimes out of this? And he looked at me, he said, really? Is that what I just voted for?
Dear God. Dear God. There is a clean slate law that is supposed to kick in just a few weeks on January 1. It does what it sounds like. It's to wipe certain offenses from the criminal record, certain levels of offenses from certain offenders. And this was wrestled about at the General Assembly, you may remember, months and months and months ago. A lot of controversy there. Some stuff was put in, some stuff was taken out. But now there may be a bit of a delay in this. Craig Fishbein joins us, Republican state rep, the ranking member on Judiciary. Now, Craig, you said before the break that there was a little concern here from Judiciary and the governor's office, the executive branch. And you mentioned, I want you to highlight this a little more if you can. You mentioned the fact that some of the records here that will need to be examined on some of these decisions are not available, or it will be tough to get them. Now, Craig, the regular person would hear that and go, huh? Like, what's going on here?
Well, yeah, 2000, I think it was. The year 2000 is when the electronic information system was put into place by the judicial branch. Prior to that, they utilized paper records. But that's one issue. But then we also have the issue, even with the electronic records, that certain information is not there. For instance, one of the qualifiers for the erasure is that they have met their conditions of sentence. Mm-hmm. Well, felons, as a condition under the statute, are supposed to be DNA tested, which, you know, historically has been of great benefit to law enforcement. For instance, recently, I think I read about yesterday, there was a serial killer in New Jersey who was identified based upon he was convicted of a felony and they had DNA tested him. They have raised through their correspondence the concern that if somebody fails to do their DNA testing as a result of their conviction, they don't record that in the electronic records, and somebody could wait out the 10 years on a felony conviction, not do the DNA testing. Nobody would know, and their record's going to get erased. That's of concern. Another situation is the change in classification of a particular crime. So under clean slate, Class D felonies are not erased, but it's the other way around. Class D felonies are erased, but Class B felonies are not erased. But if we look at child pornography, first degree possession of child pornography, up until 2004, that was a D felony. Mm-hmm. But then it became a B felony. So does that mean that we are saying that those who possessed child pornography prior to 2004, they're automatically going to be erased, but those after are going to be erased? There's a little public policy conflict there, and they're asking, how do we deal with this?
Craig, we're talking about child porn here, not somebody who throws a brick through a window. I mean, this is serious stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it comes back to the sex crime thing and the registration and all that stuff. The other thing, and we brought up this so many times on the House floor, is pending charges. So now if somebody has felonies on their record that are going to get erased and they get arrested, and let's say they're being held in prison for another felony. And perhaps because of that action, it is a second offense in which it has a heightened penalty for. Arguably, under the language as passed, that first conviction would be automatically erased and therefore reduced sentencing for that individual. Mm-hmm. That is not the way this process should work, but apparently that is the way it was passed. So once again, you got the executive and the judicial branch coming back and saying, are you really wanting to do this?
So what happens, Craig Fishbein, on the 1st of January in a few weeks, 2023? I did read where Steve Stafford, who was your co-chair there, or the Democrat chair on Judiciary, is saying that there may be some slight changes made here, but nothing major. What happens in a few weeks?
Well, we go into session January 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we get sworn in. So certainly we could have a special session prior to January 4 to address some of this stuff. But once again, I'm at December 7. Nobody has brought this thing to my attention until I read about it this morning. Unfortunately, the letter was not sent to me. So it's in someone else's hands, but it is possible to do something to correct this stuff. My understanding is that Senator Winfield had or is having a press conference today, and based upon what I read, his comments are, we passed the law, implement it. That's my understanding.
Do you think, let me leave you with this, Craig. Do you think that... the lack of communication with you and with Republicans, was that purely coincidental, or might there be a method to the madness here?
Well, I think as the public really knew how the legislature operated, when I tell people that the Republicans are excluded from certain things, people don't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
But here we've got a very important letter, and there's no reason why leadership on the other side of this committee, and we work together well. Steve and Gary and John and I, we work together pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to exclude us other than for political purposes.
Craig Fishbein, state rep, is the ranking member on Judiciary. We'll see what happens with the so-called second chance bill, the second chance or clean slate law, the clean slate law, when the early part of January rolls around. Craig, good to speak with you again. Take care, and I'm sure we'll be talking in the new year.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate that. All right, folks, there you go. The shenanigans in Hartford. I try to keep you up to date with this stuff. I try to tell you that who or whom you vote for in the General Assembly sometimes matters far more than who's sitting in the big leather chair in the governor's office. I'm serious. Either party doesn't make a difference. So there's a picture circulating an area media sites. I'm looking at this one of the dailyvoice.com. Duo wanted in Fairfield County for stealing from a store, police say. And two guys walked into an auto parts store, Advanced Auto Parts, in Stamford, 5:30 p.m. this past Saturday. And they walked out with eight batteries, eight car batteries. They just walked in. And they're putting the price of those batteries all together at about $2,000. This is happening all over the country. You see it in New York all the time. Pharmacy chains, big box retailers. There's just theft going on. What do we do about this? Because you and I are paying for it. Carl Gould, one of our business go-to guys, is back with us to talk about that. Check out his company, Seven Stage Advisors. He helps organizations grow to the next level. We've had him on before. Hey, Carl, it's Paul here at WICC. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, there's a real rash of these thefts going on.
Carl, you had some figures here. What did I see here? Target is going to lose $600 million this year. What do they do about that? What can they do?
Yeah, unfortunately, if you're a Target or you are a retailer, that the number one place you will probably experience theft is from your own employees, and the second place you'll experience it is from visitors to your store.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers, any number is alarming. You don't want anybody stealing your things, but the it's how it's being done right now. And so that's the real challenge. Most of the stores have built into their business plan what's called shrinkage, right? That's a nice term for people steal from us. They call it shrinkage. This is getting a little bit much. More and more retailers are reporting that they are experiencing theft on a greater level. They've, 29% in 2020 said that they were stolen from, and now it's over 50%. So it's almost doubled.
And Carl Gould, there is employees are told here, are they not, from their area advisors and corporate, what do they say? Don't engage the thieves, call police. I mean, you see some of these vigilante employees, Carl, sometimes who are successful at stopping these people, and sometimes they get fired by their companies.
Right, because, the world we live in, if you were to harm a thief, as crazy as this sounds, the insurance company might not cover it, or you might suffer some liability. As a general rule of thumb, though, if somebody's going to take something, it's not worth the physical injury you could endure, should you take on somebody who might be armed. So the prudent thing is just let them take whatever it is. Now, unfortunately, the thieves know that. The thieves know that if they come in and they look dangerous enough or, nefarious enough, that people will just kind of let them come in and do their thing. And that's really what has emboldened them. And that's part of the problem.
So, and again, Carl, you see this too, and it's sad because you see some of these, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm seeing a lot of pharmacy chains here, Rite Aid, CVS, some of the other pharmacy chains are so frustrated, Carl. They're closing stores in a lot of areas, Carl, that become deserts for this kind of retailer where they're sorely needed.
Yeah, it's a problem because here's kind of the progression of how things go.
Sure.
If you have a store that gets targeted and people will steal from, now all of a sudden that store is deemed to be unsafe. Employees don't want to work there. People don't want to go there. And now if you're a business owner or you're a company that owns that store, you now have something that is gaining a reputation as a place where these sorts of things happen. And so, if you're a company, you have to put a stop to this. Closing is not the answer because the thieves win when you do it. What you need to do is have a stronger show of force with security and or law enforcement. Because that's, thieves look for opportunity, justification, and the third element is sometimes they feel they're under pressure, but they look for justification and they look for opportunity,
Yeah.
Walmart's a rich company, and I could walk right in and the stuff is sitting right there.
Yeah.
So the stores have to take a stand here. Otherwise, this is just going to get worse.
And if you want to grow your business or take it to the next level with marketing, communications, and just strategy or strategery, like one of our ex-presidents used to say, check out 7stageadvisors.com. The number 7 and then stageadvisors.com. The boss of that site with quite a resume, Carl Gould, is with us. Hey, Carl, so the whole security thing of these stores, do you know offhand, because I was just thinking this on the break, do big box retailers like Target and Walmart, do they compensate? Or even the pharmacy chains, is there any sort of compensation for added security if a store needs it or not?
Well, there should be. I mean, they should be factoring that in. And in the old paradigm or the old strategery of this sort of thing, what you would do is you would put a lot of cameras, you'd hide them in the corners, and that way you would you'd be able to find out where the bad things are happening in your store. Now this works against you a little bit because if you had a more visible show of force, it's less likely that someone is going to try something because they just simply don't think that they'll get away with it. And so so the store very much has to have, whether it's with personnel or with cameras or other means, they have to have a way that they're tracking the the issues at their store, right? And so, that's a really big part of this. That they have to show more of a visible force. Now, are they going to pay a regular employee more because they are handling security, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea at all. Leave the security to the security professionals. Leave the retailing to the retail professionals.
And, Carl, finally, speaking of retailing here, we're heading now tail end of 2022 into 2023. What are you telling your clients at Seven Stage Advisors about what may be around the corner for at least the first quarter or the first half of the upcoming new year? What's your gut tell you?
Well, we're going to have some higher prices and we're going to have some inflation. The supply chain is getting better, although it's not quite there yet. So what we're telling our clients is to bundle services and products together and add incentives for your consumers to buy. Bundling is a very strong and well-tested strategy during volatile times. And between the inflation, the fact that we're going to be beyond the holiday season, they're going to need to get buyers back to the store. And so it's not just giving a discount on a product, it's bundling together. So instead of just that T-shirt, it's a T-shirt with the hat. Mm. Instead of the vacation, it's the vacation with the hotel and the excursion. Right? You want to put those things together because bundling has always been a really strong, volatile economy pricing strategy. So that's where I would go.
So I guess that doesn't have to be just big box, Carl. That could be the local coffee shop or the eatery saying, hey, you come in for lunch or dinner, maybe a discount card or something special along with it.
Absolutely. If I'm a florist, I'm offering a bundle for Valentine's Day, and Easter or the spring holidays, and I'm putting a bundle together where you can get three bouquets and pay for them now, and we'll send them at each of those three holidays. You know, any of those things that will get somebody to feel like they're getting a discount on the larger purchase.
Excellent. Carl Gould. Carl, thanks. The website, folks, 7stageadvisors.com. Carl, be good, and we'll talk down the road. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Carl Gould there. G-O-U-L-D, Carl Gould. The website, 7stageadvisors.com. If you have maybe a notion of retaining Carl for services so we can get deeper into your business, yeah, that makes sense, right? Give folks something, right? The little extra. You don't have to be a mega corporation. You don't got to be Target. I'm sorry, Target. You don't have to be Target. You don't have to be Walmart. But give them something just a little bit extra. But how about that between, you know, Target and Walmart? They build in, like he says, they account for shrinkage, and they build in $400 to $600 million a year of anticipated losses. Now, I knew stores always did that. Everybody does that, whether it's the small neighborhood grocer, bakery. Listen, I told you we had a little family grocery store growing up, and it's sad, but we knew that, you know, it affects everybody. We knew that we had certain customers that would come in, and it wasn't beyond some people. It was sad, but it was what it was, and they still would spend money. But, you know, it wasn't beyond certain people to entitle themselves to an extra can of tuna fish, maybe, that would just, I don't know, fall accidentally into a pocketbook. Sorry to say, but it happens.